I enjoyed this special music there, all of the music we've had today. That was been very, very good. Especially appreciated hearing Wilk's voice reading there. That was good too. So the sermon today is entitled, Show That You Are My Disciple. And we'll talk about that a little more. You know, we just read in the book of John that Wilt read to us the story, or it's either a parable or it's you could call it an allegory, whichever way you want to look at it, about the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And he says, God the Father is the gardener, and he might prune the branches so that they could produce more fruit. He says that the vine and the branches have to be attached together, because the vine is where we get our strength. The vine is where everything comes from. Without it, we have nothing. And we as branches don't have roots and the source of strength to go on by ourselves. You know, I have a big maple tree out here, and every once in a while when you have a high wind or a storm, little branches and things will blow out of it. And I've got a pile of twigs and branches that I have back there that I store up until I can either burn them or take them somewhere and get rid of them. And I throw them on that pile. You know, even for a couple of days, they look pretty good. The leaves look good. Everything looks green, but eventually doesn't look so good, does it? Because they're not attached to the tree anymore, and it begins to dry up. It can look good for a little while, but after a while, after that, nothing. Because we have no roots. You know, if you're not a part of the vine, if the branch isn't part of the vine, it has no roots. And the source of all of its strength, all of its energy comes from, you know, in Jesus, we are attached to the source of our strength and our hope. He is our strength and our hope. We have the Holy Spirit moving us, leading us to grow, to change. But as he said, if we're not a part of the vine, we can't do anything. If we're not in Jesus, what do we have? Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this parable or allegory. We've all heard sermons about it, and I think we'll probably continue to do so in the future. What I want to look at is the what I think is the key aspect of the story, and that's the aspect of producing fruit. Producing fruit. And this is a theme that runs all the way through the whole story there. What fruit are we to produce? What is it like to have that fruit? How does it change us to have the fruit? You know, I'm going to go back and look at the story again and see how Jesus talks about producing fruit. So in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Or as I think Wilt said it there, dwell in me as I also dwell in you. We have to indwell. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So he said, you don't get a lot of grapes on the branches of a grapevine if you don't stay attached to the vine. It's just not going to happen. And that's the same thing with us. We're not attached to Jesus. We're not going to have a lot of fruit. And the only way you can bear fruit is to be attached. And in Jesus, that's where we get our change of heart and mind. That only comes from God. We can't do that. But to be attached to the vine is to bear fruit. And if you're part of vine, you will be bearing fruit. And I think that's what it's showing here, that we need to bear fruit. And that comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from our own way. And I think sometimes we have gotten off on what it means to have the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes I've seen people in the past work so hard to try to gain all of these fruit of the Spirit. They, you know, they want to get more patience and they want more of these things, and they're striving to get them, and they never seem to obtain it. So how do you get fruit from the vine? Jesus talks about by being attached to the vine is the most important thing. Look in verse 5. Here he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, if we're just part of that vine, he's in us and we're in him, we're going to bear fruit. That's just how it works. He said, that's the way it takes place. Because he says, apart from me, you can't do it. You can't do anything. And I think that's so true. You know, I've told the story over and over and over again, but you're stuck with me, so you're going to have to hear it again. What's his name? Benjamin Franklin, in his autobiography, talking about as a young man, he just knew how he was going to overcome. He picked out virtues, as he called them. Maybe it's patience. He said he was going to spend a whole month working on patience until he got it whipped. And when he had that one taken care of, he would start on the next one for a month. And he said, the only trouble was right in the middle of the second month when he's working on something else, all at once he wasn't patient anymore. And he realized he'd fallen back into the same habits he had before. And he kept trying to put all these things into his life. Well, in a way, it wasn't a bad thing to do. We all need to grow sometimes and do some self-development. There's nothing wrong with that. But the real fruit of the Spirit, of God's Spirit, comes through Jesus. And that's where we get it. He says, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. By being in Jesus, he is life. He produces life. He produces that fruit. If you're in him, you're going to produce it. He says, verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like the branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and they're burned. So if we remain in Jesus, we're going to produce fruit. We will be attached. You know, prayer and reading our Bibles and studying, all those things are good. They help us to stay focused. Wasn't that what Michelle Fleming said in the Speaking of Life today, that sometimes our focus begins to be on other things? And our focus for help and all of that begins to be other places because we're not keeping our minds and our hearts on Jesus himself. The acts of prayer and reading the Bible help us to stay attached, knowing him, loving him, believing in him. These things are what keep us going because he loves us. And you know what? God believes in us. He believes in you. That you will remain faithful. That's why he called you, because he believes in you. He knows your heart, and he knows that you will indeed remain faithful to him. I think that's an important thing to understand. This whole story is about producing fruit. Being in Christ, believing in him, following him will produce fruit. Look in verse 7. Here he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This, verse 8, is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So he says, showing yourselves that to be my disciples. And that, of course, was the title of the sermon today. Show you are my disciples. So here he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We show we're Jesus' disciples by bearing fruit. He said that's how they're going to know. So what does that mean? What fruit are we to bear that shows we are God's children, God's disciples? Let's turn a couple of chapters back to John chapter 13. In the section here, if your Bible is like mine, the newer ones are divided up into section. This was on the section about Jesus telling Peter that he's going to deny him three times. But right in the middle of this section, in verse 34 of John 13, he says, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So he says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How do we show we're God's disciples? By love. By loving one another. Love is the key to the whole thing. You know, faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest of these is love, faith, hope, and love. You know, Paul in Galatians talks about fruits of the Spirit like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faith and hope, perseverance, all of these things that are the part of the fruit of what the Spirit is. And all of these, in essence, fall under the umbrella of grace and love. If you think about it, our lives changed. Our lives are changed from inside out by being attached to the vine. We become, become filled with his patience and joy and peace and trust and faith. It becomes who we are. You know, Perry Como there singing about he had been on his knees in prayer and he knew what peace was because he was in communication with the one who is peace. Whose whole life is love and peace and kindness. Love is an essential part of the fruit of his spirit. Love is, in a sense, the action verb here. Love is what motivates us to do something. It's the action of that fruit that happens in our hearts and mind. Love moves us to act on kindness. It moves us to act on the compassion. We're moved by love to care about others, to act on that caring, to do something. And not just sit there. That's what love is, a motivator. It's a mover, and it goes out to others. Love, as I said, is the action that takes place. Everything else changes inside of us, but love moves outside of us. We can have peace, we can have joy, we can have all of those things, but love goes out to others. And reaches out to others to help them to have the same thing. And that's very important because he says, but everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. If we have love, and it doesn't just mean for another disciple, it means love for anyone, for everyone. If you have compassion and love and mercy, people will see that you're my disciples. They'll know, hey, there's something about this person that I like. There's something different about this person. And that's an important thing. I want to move from the Gospel of John to 1 John. I think Michelle actually quoted this a little bit in her message there. But in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, 1 John 4 and verse 7, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." So he's saying, if you have this love of God that's in you and comes out of you, it's because you know God. You've been called of God. You've been born of God. He says, whoever does not have love does not know God because God is love. He says, if you don't have love, you don't know God. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He said, this is love. We didn't just love God and we had this wonderful feeling for God. No, he said, this is love, that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent that Son that this could happen. He says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us by sending his Son as an atoning sacrifice, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Read that again. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. You know, the Spirit changes people. I've known people who, before becoming a Christian, were very hard and tough and not much compassion or mercy, not much peace. And you see a whole life changed and that everything changes in their life. It's all different. And that's because we're in Christ and Christ is in us, that we have faith. And that's the important thing, faith. Look at verse 13. This is how we know we live in him and he in us. He's given us of his Spirit And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So he says, we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent his Son. And he says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And there were people back during his day that John was fighting against who were saying that Jesus was a great man or a preacher or this or that, but he wasn't really God. He was kind of the highest creation of God, kind of set here to be with us. John is coming straight out and saying, if we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. He said, you have to acknowledge that he is the Son of God, not just something God created and sent to us or someone. It is God. Jesus is God. If we believe that, we have faith in that, he says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they live in God. And he said, so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So that's a powerful thing he's saying there. We rely on the love God has for us so that we can have love for others. It's just like if you're attached to a vine, if a branch is attached to a vine or a branch to a tree, you get sustenance from that tree, and then that goes out and produces fruit. You get a tree will get leaves, an olive branch will produce olives. You get all of these things take place because you're attached to the source. He's saying the same thing. We know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And that's what's important. How do you know you're attached to the vine? The Holy Spirit lives in you. And because he lives in you, you have love. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and have faith in him, we are of God. God lives in us. We live in God. That's just the way it works. That's the way it is. And if we are in the vine, we will produce fruit. Do you believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God? Do you have faith in him, that he is your sacrifice for your sins, that he is your Savior? If you do, then you're attached to the vine. There aren't any ifs, ands, or buts about that. You are attached to the vine. And once you're attached to the vine, you will start to produce fruits. And that fruit is a change of heart. That fruit is a change of mind, as well as the fruit of love that comes through you and out of you. It's not doctrines. It's not whether you know more doctrines than anybody else that shows you are the people of God. It's, do you love people? You know, Terry talked last week about people who God knows are his, that maybe we wouldn't think were his. You know, as he said, as the Pope said, he quoted last week, only God knows who gets into heaven. Only God knows that. We don't know that. And I think that's what happens. I've seen people who I would not think of as saying, boy, now there looks like a Christian walking down the road. But then I see them being filled with love and compassion to help someone. And you think, okay, maybe I'm judging too quickly here. Because God said, if you see someone loving them, where are they getting that kind of love from? Because God is there. God is with us. When we believe in Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and as your Savior, then God lives in you through the Holy Spirit. You live in him. Prayer and Bible study are important because it's a relationship with him. You talk to God in prayer, and God talks to us in and through the pages of his Bible, but he also talks to us through the Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, moving us. Have you ever been moved to do something and fought against it? I have. Like God was saying, you need to call this person. Well, I'm busy. You're not thinking in your mind. Maybe God's telling me something. You just think, oh, no, I'm busy. I got to do something. And you keep getting this urge. You have to call this person. And if you're smart, eventually you think, oh, wait a minute. Something's telling me something. I better do this. Because God leads you. He nudges you. He moves you. He wants you to do certain things. And I think that's important. You talk to God. God talks to us. The Holy Spirit leads us. Prayer and reading our Bibles is important because we can talk and listen to God that way. They don't earn you anything. It's the Holy Spirit living in us that produces the fruit that we have. Like Bible reading and study, prayer, they help us to come to know the heart of God more. And that's where we can go to focus back again on God. As I say, those things don't save you. Those things don't do, reading and prayer don't do that. What does it is God in us. But that helps us stay in relationship with Him. When we think on things that are, I'm going to quote King James now because I didn't look this up from, what is it, Philippians, where he says, think on things that are right and true and lovely and pure and of good report. I think is the way the King James says it. When we think on those things, we're using the mind of Christ. We're using the heart and the mind of Jesus to think on good things. But the real key is that we believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We believe that He is the one who died for us. And as God was able to pay our penalty, by faith we are attached to the vine. And by faith He lives in us and produces the fruit of love. Loving God and loving others is, of course, the key. That's what the parable that we read at the beginning in John 15 is all about. But God says if we believe that the Son of God is Jesus and that He died for our sins, we can be saved and attached to the vine. That's how you get attached. He gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to fill us with His love and His kindness, His compassion, His mercy. How much do we allow that to come through us to others? I can see myself not being very merciful at times, especially if somebody cuts me off in traffic when I've already been having a bad traffic day. I don't have a lot of mercy. And I think, why? That person had nothing against me personally. They're just doing their own selfish thing. You have to think your way. God help me to think as you would think. You know, if we aren't seeing love in our life to others, maybe we need to go back to that source. Go back to Jesus. We all believe in Him, don't we? Of course we do. And we need to set our faces to seek Him, set our hearts to look to Him, to let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and minds. And a lot of times when you're just reading the Bible, you don't have to try to study it and figure everything out. If you're just reading it, God is there filling your mind with His way of thinking, His heart, His mind. We need to let that Holy Spirit work in us. How much love are we showing to people? You know, that's how we show we are God's disciples, but how we love. You know, it's easy to love those you like, isn't it? It's easy to love those that are like you. How easy is it to love those that aren't like you, that don't look like you, that don't dress like you, that don't think like you think? That's one of the things I don't like about social media like Facebook. There's just hate on them. Well, this other side politically is wrong, said we hate them and everything they stand for. And then the other side is there. I've got friends that are both liberal and conservative on Facebook, and then they're saying, well, the other side is just wrong and we hate what they're doing and hate them. Why not have a little compassion and mercy? You know, people that don't think like us, people that don't have pleasing personalities, that don't like us. Do we have love for those people? Sometimes there's not much you can do for people, but you can have a right heart towards them. Because they don't like you and don't want anything to do with you, well, you can still love them and pray for them and do whatever is necessary. You know, God says, love God and love your neighbor. These are the first two great commandments. The great commandment and the second commandment is just like that, loving your neighbor as yourself. When we do that, we're bearing fruit. And we do that because we're attached to the vine. We don't have to, you know, try to prune ourselves. I think that's what we tried to do years ago. We tried to prune ourselves a little. We got to just take ourselves down so we can grow this fruit. We're trying to do it all ourselves, and these are fruit of the Spirit, not fruit of the me. I can't do it. It's not fruit of the flesh. It's fruit of the Spirit of God. And we are attached to the vine the love of God should be living in us and flowing out from us, because that's where life is. Just like branches attached to a tree have life. Taken off the tree, they don't have life. They look good for a while, but that won't last. That's why we have to be attached to that vine in Christ, in Him in us, seeking Him, praying, looking to God. That's where our hearts are. That's where we come to be like Him. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, I thank you for this time of joy and peace to know, Father, that even though we're in a country that politically is in a time of great turmoil and that there's a lot of hate and all of those things, we still have the freedom to believe in you, to trust in you, to meet together, to pray, and to know, Father, that you are the Most High God. And Father, we pray for that love of yours to just flow in us and through us. Help us, Father, to stay close to you. And Father, we are attached to you because of what you have done. But help us, Almighty God, to have our hearts and our faces set to know you better, so that, Father, you can more fully work through us, because we're getting ourselves out of the way, or you are. But Almighty God, we all know that it comes through you and what you've done through your Son, Jesus, that we have life and that we are attached to him, that we live in him and he lives in us, and we all live in you, Father. What joy that is. We praise you for it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. At this time, we have the privilege of